Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today begins with these words. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Jesus saw people, individual people, hurting, hungry, and needy people. Jesus is not a cold, distant, uncaring God. He is the good shepherd who knows his sheep by name. He is the one who told the little children to come to him. He is the God who says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Seeing with compassion begins with seeing people as unique individuals. A number of years ago, an experiment was done in which there were two separate classrooms of children. Children who were similar in background, in intelligence, and in potential. The only difference was that one of the two classes was described to the teacher as being highly intelligent and very capable of learning almost anything, while the other class was described to another teacher as being below average and having very limited potential. At the end of the test period, the two classes were given written tests, and it was discovered that the class which was described to the teacher as being above average and extremely intelligent did very well on the test, while the other class, which had been described to the teacher as being below average and lacking potential, but which actually was on par with the first class, ended up doing very poorly on that written test. The difference was not in the classes or in the ability of the students. The difference was in the labeling of the classes as being either highly intelligent or below average. This happens not only in classrooms. Too often, we think of other people in terms of them and us. We divide people into our kind of people and not our kind of people. We tend to judge people by where they live, by the color of their skin, by the language that they speak, by their achievements or by their lack of achievements. Too often we don't see people as individual people. Rather, we see classes of people or groups of people. We judge people by labeling them. But we who believe in the Word of God who became flesh and lived among us, we are called to see people individually, one by one, just as Jesus does. To see people as each and every one of them who are precious in God's sight, who are valued because of the cross on which Jesus died, on which he died for them as well as for us. We are called to see people in the same way that Jesus saw individual people, including ourselves. That is the beginning of seeing with compassion. Our reading in Matthew chapter 9 begins during or after a busy period in which Jesus was ministering to people in the towns and villages of that region, probably in Galilee. We read that as Jesus looked out and saw the crowds of people who gathered to hear him teach and to see his miracles, that he was moved with compassion for them because they were troubled and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the hurting, defeated, humiliated, weary, and sad people. They were under the rule of an oppressive foreign government, the Roman Empire. And above all, they had little, if any, spiritual leadership in their lives. They were people with no direction in life, no goals, and no hope for the future. That is why Jesus had compassion on them. The time in which we live today has also been described as a time in which people have an ache to believe in something. Our world today, just like in Jesus' time, is also made up of so many harassed and hopeless and helpless people. People today are consuming information about anything that will promise some relief and some direction for their lives. Horoscopes, sex advice, advice about friendships or romantic relationships, books and articles on these and many other subjects are consumed daily in large numbers. People are looking for a new kind of Messiah or Savior. They go through life with their spiritual heads down, not even planning for tomorrow because they are not sure that tomorrow will even come. Jesus shared with his disciples what he saw. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest. The disciples seemed to understand these words of Jesus. They had seen those people one by one as they had followed with Jesus throughout the towns and villages of that region. They had seen the emptiness, the fears, the defeat, and the worry about the future painted on the faces of the individuals that they met. They also were filled with the compassion of Jesus. Christians today are also hurting people. Christians live in the same world of unemployment, of instant sinful gratification, of uncertainty about the future. But there is a difference. People of God, by faith in Jesus as our Savior, know about the future that God has in store for them. If you think about the Christians that you know, you can see the difference between them and non-Christians around you. Christians have a deep and abiding sense of peace and joy that becomes evident in what they say and do in their lives. Not all Christians speak very actively or openly about their faith in Jesus, but Christians just can't help living out their faith. Their faith shows itself in a peaceful and joyful outlook on life. And that is for good reason, because Christians' lives are built on the solid foundation of Jesus and of his word, as we heard about in our gospel a couple of weeks ago. Christians look at life through the same physical eyes as their non-believing neighbors and co-workers and classmates, but the difference is that we look on life through the cross of Jesus Christ and through his empty tomb that has been embedded on the lenses of our spiritual eyes. You and I have that kind of difference in our lives. Our eyes see a Savior who died and rose for us. Our eyes see a Lord who forgives our sins, who lives in our hearts, whose Spirit convinces us that we are God's dearly loved children. We know that life is about more than just food and drink. We know that we are destined to live with God forever. It's no wonder then that we have peace and joy in our lives. After showing his disciples what he saw, Jesus then told them, "Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into the harvest." Jesus' prayer was that there would be workers who would teach others to see this life that God has given them through the eyes of faith, to see the new life that Jesus has won for them with God and his kingdom. Our text goes on then with the beginning of Matthew chapter 10. It seems that some time has passed between Jesus' words at the end of chapter 9 and the beginning of chapter 10. And Jesus' disciples seem to have been praying for workers to be sent out into the harvest field just as Jesus instructed them. And so at the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus basically says, "Guess what? Your prayers for workers for the harvest have been answered, and God has chosen you as those workers. Jesus called his disciples together to prepare them for the mission that he was about to send them on. The religious leaders of the Jews at that time had not been good leaders for God's people. They were like the blind leading the blind. In essence, they had been saying to the people, "First, improve yourselves in your lives, and then we will help you." But of course, that was no help for those people. And the people also began to suspect that their religious leaders didn't even know themselves which way to go. They had no message of hope. They had left the people shepherdless. It is foolish for us to only point out the problems of our time. How empty it is simply to lament the state of the world, the violence, the immorality, the greed, unless we who have hope in Christ also share with our world the vision of the new life that we have through Jesus. Jesus called his disciples to him and gave them authority for their mission. He gave them the power to go out and to be active in his mission. As the ascension of our Lord Jesus, when Jesus said to his disciples and to all believers, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and surely I am with you always." Jesus was saying the same thing now to his disciples as he prepared them to go out as his missionaries, to go out and accomplish the tasks that he had called them to do. Jesus told his disciples to go first to the lost sheep of Israel. He sent them to the hurting, the wandering, the ashamed, the lost, the heart-sick people whom he loved so dearly. Jesus told them to begin with those people of Israel, because that was God's chosen people from the Old Testament, his covenant community. The disciples were first to teach those members of God's chosen nation about the fulfillment of God's promise that he had made long ago to send a Savior for the whole world. Although our mission as God's people is to all the world, let's not overlook those who are nearest and dearest to us, even in our own families. The gospel message is meant also for members of our own families. It's never too late to tell our loved ones about the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has won for them. The Pharisees of Jesus' day had thought that it was too late for Matthew, for example, who was a tax collector, and for other outcasts of society like him. But Matthew saw and believed in Jesus, and now he too is being sent out by Jesus as a missionary. The people whom God is calling us to share his saving message with also includes the members of our community. As a group of believers here at this church, we truly are a city set on a hill that shines the light of salvation and of God's love through Jesus into the community around us. As we grow together in Christ, and as we care for one another and for our community, members of the community around this church see our love in Christ and are moved to learn more about him and his love. Jesus told his disciples to preach the message that the kingdom of heaven is near. And where is that kingdom found? The kingdom is found on the cross, where the Son of God died. And on that cross, and at that empty tomb, God has written the words for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the assurance that you also will rise from the dead and have eternal life with God in heaven. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you see what Jesus saw? He saw people. He saw them where they really were in their lives. He saw them with eyes of compassion. He saw the mission, and he saw us taking part in that mission. Dear Lord, help us to see also. Help us to see with the compassion that sent you to the cross to save us. Amen.